Good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs on October 19th, 2020. And frankly, no matter what date it is, I'm still Larry Jacobs. It's a pleasure to have you here on 3K12 Education Talk Radio today. We've got a show with some old friends today that I love. It's the AASL, the American Association of School Librarians, one of my favorite groups. Okay, they do so much. And we've got Sylvia Knight Norton, which is a real treat. The lady from Maine. I think she might even be in Maine now. I'm not sure. She fluctuates between Maine and Chicago, the headquarters. Okay, but she's from Maine. She's their executive director. And also we've got the president of the association, Kathy Carroll, who's from Blythewood, South Carolina, Westwood High School. We'll learn more about both Blythewood and Westwood. A lot of woods there. Okay, we'll find out what the difference is. All right, as we go on. Welcome to our show today. As you know, we work completely now. We're now part of our American Consortium for Equity in Education. American Consortium for Equity in Education. Take those initials. You have ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. That's our website. Please go over, join. It's open to educators. It's free. We want your voice heard for equity in education. We are really growing like crazy, and we just can't tell you how much we appreciate everybody's membership, et cetera, and all the good work that's happening because of that. Again, ace-ed.org. And if you go over there, you will see our magazine, which is an online journal called Equity and Access. I have to tell you, it is excellent. All right, and we get nothing but praise about it. There's a ton of great advertisers in there, absolutely wonderful editorial, and lots of times the AASL puts a column in there for us. Okay, so we're really thrilled to be working with organizations like AASL and all the other ones we work with. We have a big circulation in K-12. We want your voice heard. Again, ace-ed.org, and that is where all of our shows here are now archived. You can go over there. You'll see a big icon that says podcasts, and you can click right through and see what's doing over there. We tweet here over at EduTalk Radio, and we do a LinkedIn at Larry Jacobs, and then we do Facebook at Education Talk Radio, and then again also at Larry Jacobs. So Twitter is at EduTalk Radio. So I hope you friend us, follow us, link with us, etc., and check out ace-ed.org. I know Kathy probably won't even spend the show with us. She's probably racing to go register over at ace-ed.org. So while she's doing that, I'm going to start with my buddy from Maine, Sylvia. Sylvia, are you there?
I am, Larry. I'm calling from Chicago. But I have to say that in this world of this difficult world of uncertainties, there's something very reassuring about knowing that no matter what, you are still Larry Jacobs.
I am, and I always will be, no matter what date it is. I've learned that over the course of the years. Okay, that's true, and that's a scientific fact. And I don't care what anybody says, that is a scientific fact. All right, so
that's true.
So you're in Chicago, as you know. All my kids were born and raised in Chicago, not raised there, and the Chicago area, and I love it out there, and I know the weather's probably pretty good out there and all that sort of thing. Were you just back in Maine just recently? Have you been back?
A couple months ago, but now I'm sitting here trying working from home still at the American Library Association, at the time. So like everyone else, I'm standing in front of my computer every day.
There you go. And by the way, just Kathy, I'll get with you in a second. The leaves are still very beautiful here. Okay, Sylvia, they're still up on the trees. About 35% of them are still up, 40% up on the trees. They're still good, and lobsters are real cheap this year. So what can I tell you?
Larry's made me jealous. Yes. Okay.
There you go. Just gorgeous here right now. Don't ask me again in January or February. You know what that's like, Kathy. You don't know what it's like because you're in Blythewood, South Carolina. Winter in South Carolina is a lot different from Maine and Chicago. How are you, Kathy? Nice to meet you.
Oh, Larry, it's a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on.
Well, you're welcome anytime. And next time, don't bring Sylvia. Just come yourself because we love you. Okay.
I don't know.
Just kidding.
I think I need to bring her along. She's indispensable.
Just kidding. We love you both. Okay, there at Blythewood, Westwood, Blythewood, South Carolina, and you're at Westwood High School. Congratulations, Madam President of AASL. Tell us about Blythewood, South Carolina, where you are.
Oh, well, Blythewood is probably about 15-20 minutes outside of our state capital of Columbia. And it's just a unique mixture that can only be found in the South, probably, of rural and suburban. So if you drive 5 minutes, you're going to see farms. But if you drive five minutes the other way, you're going toward the capital. So we enjoy it here. It's a really nice mix.
I bet it is. And are you from there? You don't sound like you have much of a South Carolina accent.
Oh, no. Proudly born and raised in South Carolina.
Oh, wow.
So in a
there
small town called Sumter. Small town called Sumter. Yay,
oh,
Sumter.
Yeah. Yeah, good old Sumter. Is that where the war started, the Civil War? Kaboom? Sumter?
I think everything has some kind of reference to the war. We
it does.
A long history and memory.
You do, and it's actually one of the more interesting things in our history, and I love the way the war is titled, different titles, no matter where you are. I find that absolutely fascinating. And one other question, describe Westwood High School. What's the name of the team?
Oh, my gosh. Well, we are the Red Hawks. And
the Red
Hawks. We have a new principal this year. Yeah, we're the Red Hawks. We have a new principal, Mr. Jackson, this year, Robert Jackson. And he found a poem about Red Hawks soaring. And, my gosh, he loves that poem because he loves our school. And so we have to hear about the majestic Red Hawks and flying in formation. And so, yes, we're very community-oriented.
That's great. I like Red Hawks. That's a good name for a mascot. Huh? And just out of curiosity, what are the demographics of the school or the town or whatever?
Okay.
Like in terms
of
usually free and reduced lunch gives the picture, that type of thing.
Oh, well, then you have an accurate picture of our school. Yes, we have a majority of almost a majority of free and reduced lunch. So,
okay.
Yes.
Not uncommon. Not uncommon. Yeah.
Oh, no. We are the world here. We have every student or child you can think of. We have that person represented here. So it's quite the microcosm.
I'm sure it is, and it must be beautiful down there. And that is a nice little place, part of the world, I'll tell you, South Carolina. It really and truly is, okay? It's just beautiful. And, of course, everything's remote these days, okay? Although Sylvia's working in Chicago, she's still kind of remote from the office. All right, Kathy's down in Blythewood, South Carolina. She's president of AASL. They're based in Chicago, okay? So on that note, okay, I'm going to ask Kathy. Kathy, how did the kids return to school in whatever form in Blythewood?
Well, we are still remote. We're still distance learning. So we have plans for beginning of next month, tentatively, that we will return with the hybrid version. So we're still kind of grappling with what that looks like because we finally have some kind of equilibrium with the remote learning, and now we're transitioning into the hybrid with the hopes eventually of being face-to-face. But, my gosh, that just seems so far away. It's hard. Initially when we left, I don't know what I was thinking. I was under the assumption that we would not be gone long, and we left, I think, on a Friday, and That was it.
That's right. That was it.
We didn't return for the rest of the school year, and I think we were all a little surprised because we kept hearing rumblings. Okay, we'll come back in a couple of weeks. Next, a couple of weeks became a month, and then 2 months, and we just finished out the year that way and had I work at a high school, and we had our graduation that way, and we had drive-bys for the seniors and tried to just make things special for them. We were doing our best over here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I bet you were. By the way, what you're saying is not uncommon. I tell everybody, everything you're doing is right and everything you're doing is wrong because nobody knows where this is going to shake out. Okay, and it's just, you know, we're all doing the very best we can. But, Sylvia, it brings up an interesting point. The teachers are you know, they're trying, okay? And so few of them have been trained in remote teaching, you know, online education and the pedagogy behind it. And we ask them to do a lot, but that's the teachers dealing with their students, okay? But, Sylvia, there's been the interesting thing, and I couldn't wait to do this show, the librarian has a different relationship with students, okay? And what are you hearing from librarians across the country about how they're working this fall? Sylvia.
Well, it's
You're right. The school librarian is a very unique position in that they work mm-hmm. with every student and every teacher, every content area. So I think the most important piece is that our school librarians often know, they know the child from the day they enter until they leave because they work with
right.
them every year. And so the one of the things that I hear constantly is how much our school librarians are concerned about our their students and what they are facing at home, whether they have the kind of learning condition that they need. And so we really, and the other thing is the school librarian often is a solo position in a school, sometimes even
mm-hmm.
in many schools. So one of the first mm-hmm. things ASL did is we pulled together town halls where we had, like everyone else, we jumped on Zoom. I think our first call, we had 500 school librarians from around the country just call in to be able to talk so that we could talk about their concerns for their student, their concerns for their teachers. That's the other unique piece, is the way school librarians support the classroom teachers in their school. So we listened to, we had 10 town halls last spring, and we did 3 surveys of a snapshot of what's going on at that time. And we took all that data and created a document that's out on our website called The School Librarian Role in Pandemic Learning Conditions, where whether it's face-to-face or blended learning, the hybrid learning, or totally distance learning remote, where school librarians are there as a teacher and a leader and an information specialist. And it's definitely a unique role. I think Kathy can probably
that
speak
is.
to what she's been doing in her
yeah.
school, the way that impacts.
And I'm going to ask you that, Kat. So what have you been doing? And I have to say something. There's an interesting point here, is that so much of the learning is remote. And I think Sylvie remembers that I'm an old history teacher, emphasis on both old and history, okay?
Is it history when you, if you were there, is it still history?
No, it isn't. And actually, it was a lot shorter. It was a lot easier to finish the year when I was there because there was so much less history to do, okay? Okay, so it was that much easier. But, you know, it's interesting. A lot of the educators are using a lot of programming and video and all that sort of thing, high-tech, the streaming and that sort of stuff, which basically is the librarian's bailiwick. Okay, they're the media specialists. Usually Kathy's the lead library media specialist over at Westwood High School in Blythewood, South Carolina. Okay, and the point is, now that everybody's dependent on media, okay, Kathy, mm-hmm. tell us what's going on down in Blythewood and what you're hearing across the country, because the librarian suddenly becomes awfully important in remote learning in a media-based world. There you go. Kathy, it's all yours, Madam President. And the election's only two weeks away, so go for it. You can still run for a national office there. Go ahead. Go ahead. The White House.
Okay, no pressure there.
No pressure at all. Go ahead.
I would like
to your own, like your own town hall, but not dueling. There, you have your own thing here, so go ahead. Yeah.
It's appreciated. But I do think with school librarians, but just educators in general, but particularly school librarians, we see the importance. Because I think there's always this thought that perhaps, you know, I had a child, I can educate this child, or I went to a library so I can be a librarian, or I don't think the skill set and the subtleties were really acknowledged until now, and then people are just standing back and thinking, wow, you do provide a lot, you do a lot, your impact is far-reaching, and I think this, while it's been a horrible situation, the reason why we're here is terrible. But I think also there has been sort of a silver lining in that I think a lot of people now realize what we bring to the table, in that because we are remote, people now need assistance with how to make that work, how to not only create the content, but also how to execute it and how to deliver it to students. And so, therefore, our role is very important, but also just with the devices themselves, the distribution of and helping students. And right just later on today, I'm having a class of explaining to students how to use a platform that they need for an assignment.
Well,
So therefore, is going to be needed because I already taught them the research and I provided it, and it was 10:30 on a Friday. I was working with them, but now I have to explain how to use the assessment and the culminating activity. How do we create that? So I'm there lockstep with the teacher every step of the way, and I think now they realize, wow, you do understand, you do. And so I always felt valued in the past. Now I feel as if they realize, okay, you are bringing a lot here, and these are things I never thought of. Because I'll just sometimes have a conversation really casually, and I'll say, what about this? Have you thought about that? I don't think this is going to work. What about inequities? What about if they don't have that? What about, I mean, so there are other variables that I can consider.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then they're really grateful. They're saying, Kathy, I never thought of that. And so I'm saying, well, that's okay. You don't have to because I'm here. And so while this is working better for the high school and the older students, I think we're even equally or even more so vital for the younger, because they're such a tactile little group and they're just new learners. And I've heard of sometimes that some teachers, and it's just because out of necessity, they're expecting first grader. I just talked to a teacher. They expected their first grader to use the mouse and open a program and do all of this. And so, and I'm thinking, okay, the child's in first grade. And so that's where the librarian again steps in and thinking, okay, we need to scaffold this. We need to, I will work with, I will bring them where you need them to be in order to fulfill the curriculum. So it's just, it's working in tandem with the teachers. It's never been more important. And so we're there. We're just there on all levels.
Yeah, you are there on all levels. And by the way, the school librarians have always been there on all levels, okay? But it becomes but it becomes a whole brave new world right now. And this is actually my question about that. Sylvia, let me throw it to you because you're, overseeing the whole national thing. Well, Kathy is too, but you're the executive director, okay? And are you hearing that teachers are tapping into their school librarians nationally? Or maybe just anecdotally, however you might find this out, but on a national level, okay, are they tapping into school librarians more now or less? What are you hearing?
We're definitely hearing that in the surveys that we've done. We've had two more surveys out this fall as school began again, and it was important, as Kathy pointed out, as we all went into that "oh my gosh, what's going on" mode last spring, that that school librarians were there. We heard stories on our town halls and the data that we got in our surveys that definitely that. As you said, remote learning was not new. Those online resources was new. It's amazing how many online databases the school library has had that school librarians have tried to promote. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, they became really important.
Mm-hmm.
And how to use them. But also the other is, and I think it's really important, is there was a huge amount of generosity in the spring of, we will offer you this for free. Here's another free resource. Here's free resource. I mean, it was a tsunami of free resources online. And the school librarian role for curating was essential in that. It's just, you know, there were so many school, I heard about so many educators who said, what should I use? Oh, here, I heard this is good, but I don't know which to choose. Well, guess what a school librarian's expertise is? Looking for the resource that is pertinent to that need and that curriculum and the credible source, all the stuff that we've always taught. Doesn't matter what format you're in, whether we're talking about a book on the shelf or something online, the concept is still there, but now we're applying it in different formats.
Right. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. And let me ask a simpler question, and I mean, I'll just ask Kathy this. Kathy, I know that media, okay, and streaming and all that and all those programs are important. I'm just curious, what about books? Are kids able to take out books? Okay. Is the library even open to take out books? And the funniest thing is our town library here in Little Cornish, Maine, and our librarian, Cheryl, who's a doll, and she looks like she's the man from Mars, the way she's in a hazmat suit to make sure people can have books. Okay. And it's actually gotten funny in that regard. All right. Although I certainly respect her doing all that. But I'm curious, what's happening with books? Kathy, what are you hearing about books, libraries, books. Yeah.
Before I get to that, I would just like to piggyback on a little of what Sylvia said about restraint.
Because
when we had this, we had all of these resources, I have to admit I was guilty of thinking, okay, we have a smorgasbord. This is wonderful. Everything is just being donated temporarily. I need to share with everyone. And then I quickly realized this is not the best path because I'm overwhelming. And so therefore had to then be very strategic and limit and curate what I was providing. And I know that a lot of librarians had the same thoughts because initially we didn't know what was needed because this was such new territory. But eventually we found our footing and then we were able to supply the appropriate materials for our learners. But getting to books, that's almost an individual district school situation because whereas we're definitely going with following the guidelines of the CDC and Realm and other agencies, it is up to the district if we can distribute books. I know some have done curbside. Huh. Some have been literally, I know of librarians who have taken them to students' homes to make sure they had it because the student didn't have transportation.
Wow.
But at my school right now, we're not allowed to distribute books. Huh. And during the hybrid time, we will have a limited. And then, again, we're not going to use our space for browsing, but we are going to have the ability for them to reserve books. And then we will make sure to distribute them accordingly and then retrieve them and then make sure that we follow the guidelines again for safety before we redistribute. So it's kind of complicated. But, again, I cannot make just a generalized statement about that because it is pretty much a site-based. Mm-hmm.
Right.
But I'm really anxious and want to get them into the hands of students.
Yeah. Sylvia.
Larry, I think we all agree with the importance of books in reading, and there's certainly research that shows the despite how much is online, the role of print. But I have to tell you the stories I heard last spring of school librarians who had that one day notice that they were closing. Well, they didn't think they were closing for this long, but they were closing.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
they sent home children with armloads of books because they knew how important it would be for them to have reading materials and have access. And we heard story after story, but we also heard, and this is that inequity that we worry about for kids who don't have a school librarian, that a school librarian who, let's say, covers more than one has to cover more than one school saying, I was at the XYZ elementary school, so I, and told these wonderful stories of kids coming in and taking home books, but then how worried she was because she knew that the three other schools that she covered, that those kids didn't have that opportunity, or they didn't get the hot spots or the devices to be able to go home and go online. So we heard that story constantly about it's where they had a school librarian that they got those resources and what happens when your school doesn't have one.
Right, and I couldn't agree. You all heard me say at the beginning of the show we have our consortium for equity, okay? And you just put that, Sylvia, and that's the kind of solution-oriented stuff that we always look for. Okay, and I know I don't think you're going to have a column in this issue that we're doing now, but I do want you guys to always know. And Kathy, you are welcome to. I work with Allison and Sylvia. Okay, please send us columns all the time because these are the kind of stories. I'm quite serious that we like to put in our magazine and up on site because it's important for people to understand. We have a lot of members now in the consortium. The role of the librarian and what you just said, though a sweet story, is incredibly important for everybody to understand how important the school librarian is, okay, in terms of equity, beyond what you do normally, but just in terms of equity. It's just so important to realize that. And so there's still time to get a column in. If you want to write that up, Ms. Sylvia, Executive Director, or Kathy,
I'll briefly make one more point on that equity piece. As I listened, I was at an National Education Summit recently where the speaker pointed to the need for enhanced learning, not just the curriculum piece, but that enhanced learning. And this is particularly families that make sure their children have certain after-school activities or exposure to certain kinds of things. Well, that enhanced learning is a huge difference when it comes to children when they are not in school and whether they're getting that. And school librarians have always been about that enhanced learning.
I love that.
Sometimes it was a book group chess club. Kathy can come up with much better examples, I'm sure. But what I loved is, as I heard this speaker, I kept saying, this is what school librarians do. And we heard that in our town hall, school librarians who said, oh, no, I just moved my chess club online. We're doing my book group online. I mean, they're mm-hmm. making sure that they're helping explore, one of our standards, that their students are able to do that.
Right, it's so darn important. Yes, go ahead. You were going to say something,
but
Kathy?
What I think is also concerning is, while initially the lack of a librarian obviously had ramifications, but ongoing, this lack, because I know how much we contribute, I know how much we provide for our learners and for our faculty, and not just academically, but social-emotional learning and across the spectrum.
Oh, yeah.
And to not have the school librarian present throughout all of this time, we're now starting to hear information about the COVID slide, which is a real thing.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh, yeah.
Compound that with the lack of a school librarian, I can't imagine the disservice and the inequity that's going to take place, because maybe students who are already behind are going to get farther behind.
That's right.
Because of this, because we provide so much. So I just find it troubling because I do know how much school librarians contribute to the learning environment.
They do. And again, I'm going to say it again. I'm going to nag you. Please get us a column, because the things you're saying are important for our readers to read. We got 150,000 circulation who need to know exactly what you're saying beyond this pandemic. So I'm going to nag you, okay? Because I know you're busy. I don't care.
Okay?
We do want it, all right? And, you know, I got to go back to something. I think it was Kathy who said the magic word. And I think this is what people kind of forget. The word was curate. And I wrote it down, like curator, okay? And, you know, teachers are good at finding stuff, and we know it is the Wild West out there. They find an app they like, you know, and they use it with their teeth, which is not good. You got to run this through people, educators out there. But, you know, the school librarians, and Kathy, I'll go back to you, are experts, okay, in curating this material. And so if a teacher, to me, if a teacher finds an app or some thing that they like to use, they need to run that by somebody, and a good person to run that by, okay, besides maybe the ed tech director before you sign up for something that'll explode your whole system, but for educational purposes, educational purposes is the school librarian to curate it. And you may already have something that's doing the same thing that the school librarian knows about that the teacher doesn't know about. Your thoughts on curating, President Carroll?
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
It's always almost a little humorous to me how appreciative teachers are when I suggest things. And they'll say, Kathy, I have this idea. I know it's kind of out there. I'm thinking maybe we can. And they're just explaining something I already know. And I'm thinking, wow, well, maybe we can this. And they look at me as if I invented it. And I'm thinking, no, I'm aware. This is what I do. And then we work together. And they always say, oh, my gosh, I never would have thought of this. Or I didn't know this was available. And then I tell them, that's why you come to me. That's why
that's exactly right. That's why the school librarians are important. And I'll tell you said something else. There's too many schools, okay, without a school librarian. There are far too many. All right, and people really have to understand the role. In fact, where I went to elementary school back in the early 1400s, we had a beautiful library in a brand-new post-World War II school, brand-new in those days, elementary school, okay? And it was a beautiful library. I still remember it, okay? It was like the school was shaped like an L, and it was right in the middle and the rounded part and all that. Mm-hmm. But there was no librarian. It was up to the teachers, okay? They didn't know what the hell they were doing. All right. It was interesting. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, you know, it's so darn important. You talk about inequity. A school without a librarian is really in an unequal situation, and you're hurting the kids and all that sort of thing. Okay. It's just, did you like that speech there, Sylvia? By the way, Sylvia, I'm curious. Okay. The presidential jet for AASL, are you still using that? Have you shared it with Kathy yet?
Well, it's been
called AASL 1, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah.
Yes, it's been a lot easier to get in and out of airports lately because there's less traffic, mm-hmm. Yes.
Less traffic, right. Have you told Kathy about her use of that? She's welcome to it.
I say, this is news to me. I'm interested.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Okay, just curious.
You know, Larry, the reality is that just being a school librarian is reward enough.
Beautifully said. And so she keeps the jet for another year all to herself with that statement. It's incredible. Okay, no, it's a serious. It's really something. Were you guys going to? You guys were not going to have a conference this year, right, Sylvia? It's next year. It would. Right.
Right. We will be in Salt Lake City in October of 2021,
right.
And the world will. I'm looking forward to a time when the community will get a chance to be together again. And
yeah,
I know,
should be by then.
That it will be a really exciting place to be. Plus the sessions we're going to have.
Yeah, and Salt Lake's a good town. Okay, it's fun. You're close to Park City and all that sort of thing. It's really, really great. I cannot again speak, and I have to speak to the importance of school librarians. As you know, I'm a big fan, and educators, please tap into your school librarian, obviously, from all this. Last words before we leave, President Carroll, what would you like to say to the group? And you can ask to use the jet, by the way, if you want to. So go ahead.
Well, I appreciate that. I was not aware, but now that I know.
She keeps it a secret. That's ridiculous. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Well, first of all, I'd just like to thank you so much for this opportunity, because anytime I get to talk about school librarians and our roles, our importance, what we contribute, our love for our students and faculty, I always jump on that opportunity. But I think in closing, what I'd like to say is, although we are still in, I don't know, unprecedented times, I think we're going to, while we work together, I think things are going to work out. But I also love that this is an opportunity for school librarians to shine, because, again, I think some people have erroneously thought that we can, if you have a tech person or if you have another type person, or there's so many different, I don't know, titles that people think can be exchanged for a school librarian. I think this is brought to the forefront that we're not expendable, that we are a crucial part of a child's education, and that when we're not present, that's a glaring omission. And I think the consequences and ramifications of the lack of a school librarian are going to be felt later on, right now, but later on as well. But those who are there, I just want to applaud all school librarians. We're in there. We're in the trenches. We are making the plane, as I said, as we go, and we're doing what we need to do. And I cannot imagine being president in a year where I can be more proud of my colleagues.
What a nice thing to say. That is nice. That's nice. Sylvia, your thoughts as we leave?
I think Kathy said it well.
Yeah, she did. She really did. Okay, it's true. And it's a time to be prideful and work harder than ever and get this done. And hopefully people, and you used a key word there, Kathy. I just want to say that word is opportunity, because as lousy as this pandemic is, and it is, 217,000 Americans have died. So many people are sick. Okay. It's really a bad year. It's an upsetting year. Okay. And, you know, we just got, but it's somehow with all these lemons, we can make some lemonade out of this. All right, I think we're going to see a different world, a better one, take advantage of the things we've learned, and as the WHO once said, we're not going to get fooled again. Okay, we're going to be ready. Mm-hmm. Okay, and it's that simple. Ladies, thank you both. Okay, Sylvia, are you jetting to Mallorca today on the AASO?
I have another meeting to go to, Larry, or else I would be at the airport now. Yes,
I'm sure you would. AASL from AASL 1, ladies and gentlemen. That's Sylvia Knight Norton, the executive director, and from beautiful Blythewood, South Carolina, Westwood High, home of the Red Hawks, President Kathy Carroll. Okay, thank you, ladies. You're wonderful. You take care. Be safe, please.
Thank you, Larry.
Thank you both.
Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You too. Bye-bye. Okay, that was great. That was fun. Always wonderful. They don't really have a corporate jet. Okay, we'll move right on from that. Hey, join our consortium at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. All right, we really want your voice out there, and I hope we did a good job of telling you the importance of the school librarian. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thanks for listening.